Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Business of Money podcast. I am your host, Nia Patrick. I'm the CEO and founder of Women's Wealth Institute, where I teach financial intelligence to solopreneurs. We believe here at Women's Wealth Institute that when your business is your paycheck, you can't afford to guess. This session, I'm going to talk about cash flow and moving money around in this country. Let me cook for a minute. It's very hard to move money around in this country. And I say that personally. I've experienced this personally with fintech companies as compared to PayPal, Stripe, Chime, Cash App, Venmo, and a variety of other apps, Zelle. And fintech has really taken over. It seems like it makes it easier for us to move our cash around. And cash and money are going to be used interchangeably. But it's really hard. Compared to bigger banks, which we call them, with fintechs, they're protected networks, like Apple Pay. Big banks had protected networks, Chase, Discover, Wells Fargo, and Discover is its own network, but it's still a bank, and we had Chase and Wells Fargo, Bank of America, and you could link your accounts and you could just transfer money from your Wells Fargo account to your Bank of America account to your Chase account, what have you. But it takes too long. And there's days that you have to wait. And they were, dominant in our ability for credit. And just hard. You had overdraft fees. You have all kind of fees on top of fees. You got to pay for checking, things like that. And then fintech came along. There's no overdraft fees. There's no credit check. You don't have to worry about if your credit is all fucked up and you can't open up a bank account or you had a checking problem. It was to solve the problem of the unbanked or those who were tired of dealing with overdraft fees and your overdraft because of a fee, not because you don't have the money, but the money didn't come in before the fee was paid, all kind of extra shit. So fintech came along and solved a problem. Having a way to store your money, but it's all online, and you didn't have to worry about a credit check. Anybody can have a Chime account. Anybody can have a Cash App account. You can't have a Zelle account without having a checking account. So Zelle had its own little special problems. But these fintech companies made it easy for us. Well, now they're all protected networks. And you have to connect your accounts together so you can move your money. But instead of you paying an overdraft fee, you pay a fee, and a very small one. So if you're moving your money from Cash App to Venmo, you connect the accounts, bam, you might pay $1.99, you might pay $0.89. You pay a percentage of the amount you're moving. And you pay a percentage of the amount or a flat amount because money is hard to move around in this country. And the fintechs understood that we're using many apps. And I need my Cash App to connect to my bank account or my Apple Cash or my Venmo or my PayPal. So they make you pay a fee. I don't mind the fee. But If you don't understand, now we have, well, let me stay on one vein. If you don't understand how to connect your accounts, which working at Walmart, people don't know how to connect their accounts to move their money around. And not realizing that they can connect their Cash App and to their Venmo to whatever, just by a bank account. You're just linking your debit cards to each other. So you can move your money in between. It took me some time to learn that. Because from somebody sending me money through Cash App, I need to get it on my Apple Pay, or I need to get it before I had a checking account with Chase. I used to pay everything with my Cash App or my Apple Pay or my bank account. And I can link my fintech account, Cash App or Apple Pay, to how I pay my rent through a checking, because they have checking account numbers. I learned to connect my, and then after a while, I was like, this is too much activity for me to manage. And I have to simplify my cash flow management process at home so that I have one account as my main account again. And then all my other accounts are connected to each other. So I did that, and that's how I wound up moving back to Chase with a regular bank account, because Cash App, sometimes I can't always connect it. Apple Cash, I can't always connect it. And I don't use Chime, but everyone doesn't have Apple Pay. So if I'm getting, you know, I need some money and I'm asking my brother, yo, can I get $20 or can I borrow $100? He'll send it to me through Cash App. Well, I'm like, he doesn't have an Apple phone. He has an Android. So it's like, it was challenging. And when folks come into Walmart, Walmart has Walmart Pay, which is brilliant. As a business, if you don't study Walmart as a business, Apple is a network. It's protected. But Walmart is just gangster. When I say Walmart, they don't give a fuck. They just don't. Something that I'm telling you, Amazon, when it comes to payment in person, Walmart's killing it. Amazon is just online. Walmart is offline, and they've built this incredible secured network that's just getting even better. I'm impressed by it because I work for Walmart. I work at the money center and I work in customer service. So I see people, they come in with thousands of dollars, paying bills, sending money all over the world, paying credit cards. Like, I'm surprised they don't do this stuff online. They come into Walmart to pay bills and send money and to receive money and to get money orders. Take money off and put money on to their fintech cards, PayPal, Chime, Cash App, all that. Customer service, everybody's returning stuff. So I'm watching people return stuff so that they can make their credit card payments, pay bills, and they bring back the craziest things, right? And they're bringing back stuff from the marketplace. So I see money coming into Walmart and I see money going out of Walmart every single day. Not just the grocery, just the money side. And working the money side of Walmart was why I decided to work the money side instead of being just a cashier. It's not everybody has the training or the financial and analytical ability to work the money center and the patients and customer service. So you have to be, I think there's only like three people in the store who can work money center and customer service, and I'm one of them at any given time. One, two, three, so there's four, five. One, two, three, four, five. Oh no, there's six. So a cashier can't work the money center, right? They're not trained to do it. Yeah, some girl, before me, she didn't know how to count money. It's a big deal. Our till was always short. But anyway, when you are able, with Walmart Pay, I lost my train of thought. Walmart Pay, Walmart has an app that for some reason people, they order stuff online. Then they come in and they and they come in and return it and it goes back on their card. So their card is automatically stored, but they don't know how to use the app. And I'll say to them, when they want to return something, they get something in their email and they'll show me their email or a text message and say, here's the barcode. I'm like, no, I want to see your app. Because you can't take a picture. You can, but you're not supposed to use that. I can't. I need to see your app to see the barcode so that I know you ordered in the app and it's not something that's fraudulent. And they're like, I don't know how to use my app and I didn't order it online. I didn't order it through the app. Well, yes, you did. They just don't know they ordered it through the app because you can't order from the market, Walmart's marketplace without being in the app. You go to Chrome and you go to Walmart.com, but when you order, you use your credit card and you buy your goods or whatever it is you're buying, and then it creates a payment history. And they're like, oh, I don't have the app. You do. You just don't know you have the app because you're like, I don't have an account. You do. You had to in order to order something at the marketplace. And they do it every single time. They go to Chrome. They just don't have the app on their phone. So if they don't have the app on their phone, they don't believe that they have the app. And I put that in quotes. And I'm like, yeah, you did. Because you had to go to Walmart.com, which means you had to create an account. You just don't have the app on your phone. I think I just put that two and two together today, just now. So I'll have to let them know, you created, you had to get it online. No, I didn't order it online. I didn't order it through the app. The only way to get into Walmart's marketplace is through the app. But what I call the app and what they call going through the browser, because they'll open up their browser and they'll show me. And I'm like, everything is in the app. Well, with the money center, they come in and they're always trying to pay with the Apple Pay. And you can't pay with the Apple Pay at the money center. But when they come to return something or they're buying something, but specifically when they're buying something, if they're exchanging something and they want to purchase something because it went back on their credit card, they will pull out their phone and try to do tap to pay. Walmart doesn't have tap to pay. That's where I was going with that. Every place else in this beautiful country we live in has tap to pay. Not Walmart. They have Walmart Pay, but not tap to pay. You go to Kroger and they have tap to pay. So you go to the bank. You go to every place else, you can tap your card. You can tap your card at restaurants, fast food joints, the gas station, not Walmart. Walmart, probably the only tap to pay you can do is go through the Walmart app. That's it. And it keeps the network protected. I tell you, grocery stores is something to study when you think about how to run your business, which is where I'm going with that. And then, of course, with the cash flow. In that, I'm watching people spend a lot of money. Business owners, solopreneurs, entrepreneurs, just people managing their budgets and coming to Walmart and loading up, even though we're in inflationary times, people will complain about the pricing of Walmart, but they're not jumping off of lines. Very few people leave their grocery carts. And if they do, it's because their payment didn't go through or They don't have their card because we don't have tap to pay. There's two reasons. Your EBT, you ran out, but most people don't come to with their EBT and don't have any money on it. We don't have tap to pay, or you don't have enough on your card to finish your groceries, or you left your card at home. Other than that, most people aren't leaving their groceries because people aren't really carrying cards anymore. They come in and the first thing they do when they're ready to pay, because I did the cashier for a while and I'm watching them and they all put their phones up to the thing. I'm like, we don't have to have to pay. What? You don't have to have to pay. Oh my God. I didn't bring my card with me. You don't have Walmart Pay? Walmart Pay? What's that? Your cards aren't connected to your Walmart Pay? No. And that's when it's like, oh, I don't have the app. Why would I do that? Or they're looking for something. Here's another protected way of Walmart for their inventory. People will come up to the customer service. Can you help me find this, that, and a third? I'm like, you don't have the app? No, I don't have the app. I don't want to use the app. But in the app, all the aisle, when you go into the app and you're looking for something, all you have to do is use the search feature. And you can find anything that you want in the Walmart store by using the app. It tells you exactly what aisle it's in. And when I tell them that, they're like, yeah, I don't want the app. But you came up to customer service wasting your time, because that's what I'm for, to tell you where something is. And now you want to know what aisle AH is, or H3 or L2, because you don't have the app. So I experienced that same problem in Kroger, where folks didn't know how to use the app. And I would have to constantly educate them on using the app, which would save them so much time when they're walking around shopping and looking for deals and things like that. Everything is in this app. Well, Walmart created this ecosystem that is exploding. Even though Amazon has surpassed Walmart in terms of revenue, in terms of this protected network offline, Walmart's got Amazon beat by 100%. So for your business, when you are thinking about how customers are paying you, which is where I'm going with this, you are a protected network. If you have an e-commerce system set up on your website and what I mean by that is you have, if you're using Wix or GoDaddy or anything outside of you built your own platform like I did, they have a payment processor, Stripe or probably Stripe or Square, which are popular with platforms. When you have Etsy or Shopify or Gumroad or something like that, Kajabi, Teachable, they either use Square or Stripe because they're popular for e-commerce. And they do all of the setup for your store themselves. The only difference is it's not a part of your ecosystem. You are a part of Shopify, Etsy, Kajabi, Teachable, or whoever you could, GoDaddy. You are a part of their ecosystem, and you don't control the payment processing. They did all of that work for you. So you're like you're just a contractor. If you don't maintain your subscription, you can't access your customers or your money because you got to pay your subscription every single month. That's why I'm not on any of those platforms. And that's why I created my own. And this is why I'm always talking about you need to own your own platform. Hostinger, which is the website host I use, allows me to own my platform. And when I mean platform, meaning that I have my own e-commerce system, which is WooCommerce, and with my payments for my digital products and services, WooCommerce is my payment processor. And with that, I have Stripe. So for my courses, everything goes through WooCommerce. But I also, and then that's all powered by Stripe as well. So I have my own payment gateway. My customers can use the buy now, pay later, where they can purchase a product and pay for it in installments. If I'm hosting a course or a workshop, and I decide to let everybody pay at the door versus pay before you get there, or I want to take payments for my products that I'm selling at my event or a workshop or a speech or whatever, they can tap my phone and make a payment. I don't have to insert their card or anything like that because I have Apple Pay. So they can Apple Pay me, they can Google Pay me, they can go on my website and make a payment, they can tap my phone and make a payment. So I have a way for them to pay me without having to pull out a card. Right? Collecting money up front is to avoid one, me having to wait for my money to come in before I host a workshop or event. The beautiful thing about e-commerce when you own the platform is that you get your money up front. And if you haven't digitized your services, you need to. You don't need to send invoices anymore. I don't understand people who send invoices. It just halts your cash flow. You invoice someone and they decide when they want to pay you. And you're assuming they're going to pay you right away. But if you have 30 days to pay me, they're going to wait 60 days to pay you because you waited 30 days. It's the psychology of business. You pay people you owe money slow and you get people who owe you money fast. And make that stick in your head. You pay people who you owe money slow. You want people who owe you money fast. So let's turn it around. You let someone borrow $100. You want your money by their next paycheck. You owe someone $100. You're not going to give them their money fast. You're going to wait for two paycheck cycles because if they're willing to wait the first 30 days, they're willing to wait the next 60 days and the next 90 days because something's always going to come up. It's the same principle. When you condition your customers and your clients to pay you before the service is actually rendered and you're getting cash, you are building a solid cash flow management system. And we're going to talk a lot about cash flow on my podcast. It is the most solid way for you to be able to run your business efficiently, no matter how big or small your business is. With your accounting system, if you're using QuickBooks or FreshBooks or I forget the other one. It slips my mind right now, but let's stick with QuickBooks. Back in the day, QuickBooks, because I work with QuickBooks, so let me backtrack a little bit. I learned how to use QuickBooks working for a medium-sized company. prior to working with that company, I never worked with QuickBooks. I knew what it was, but I never worked with QuickBooks as part of my job description. I'm coming fresh out of a marriage and going through a divorce and got my MBA because I know I was going to get divorced. I know I was going to get divorced when I got married. And I knew that I needed to have a skill that I could translate into income because I knew I was going to go through a divorce. So when I got a job, I was a property accountant, but I only handled receivables. So my background is in cash flow management. It's getting the money in. That's what I do well. I do it for myself. I do it for my business. I do it as a just, it's just ingrained in me. And I had a job in accounts receivable. Anyway, I learned how to do QuickBooks and I'm sending out invoices. Well, I got hired because they were sending out invoices late. So they're getting their money 30, 60, 90 days because they're sending out their invoices too late to collect the money. Then when they did, everybody's not sending their money in. To move forward with QuickBooks. QuickBooks had a feature at one point where you can send the client invoice to the client and they can pay the invoice right on the invoice with a pay now button. Big, huge feature. Because before you had to email it, wait for your money to come in, wait for the money to hit your account. There was no pay now feature when you sent the invoice to the client. For those who know that QuickBooks used to be like that, go ahead and shout out a holler. Wasn't that like a great thing? Now today, that's an added feature that you have to pay for in QuickBooks, right? You have to, and QuickBooks has a merchant account for you to be able to accept the payment. So you didn't need to have e-commerce to process your payments. QuickBooks already had a merchant account that you had to basically qualify for. And they pretty much gave it to those who were business owners because you had to put all your information in, meaning your EIN, your social, however you're running your business. So now it's a paid feature where to have payment processing, just like payroll is an added feature that you have to now add on to your business if you want to offer payroll to clients. So QuickBooks now nickels and dimes you for features that were all that used to be a part of the entire package, which I think as a business is smart if people are willing to pay for it, because everyone doesn't want to do payroll. But if you're going to offer the service of payroll, you're now going to pay for it because you can make your clients pay for the payroll feature, right? But the point is that they used to have this pay now button. Now it's part of a separate feature. And that meant that when your client got the invoice, they have the option to hit the pay now button and make a payment. That would essentially speed up your cash coming into the business. The problem is if they don't pay when they get the invoice, because they're on a billing cycle of when they pay invoices, and it might be after 30 days. And if you have anything, any kind of language that you're going, you know, they have 30 days or net 10, 220 or net 210 or whatever. And they may want to take advantage of that 2% discount within a 10-day period or wait the 30 days. It depends on what your policies are. And your policies dictate how fast your cash comes in. Whether they are written policies or unspoken policies, meaning that there's no And this is talking not as a bookkeeper. This is talking as you are serving your clients because you do consulting, or you're a plumber, you're an electrician, you're a landlord, you're a handyman, you're a beautician. You are someone who invoices. Well, beauticians don't invoice, but plumbers, electricians, they may or may not invoice. It all depends. I don't know how everybody runs their business. Everybody wants to do the work and get paid later, hoping they'll get paid because they got the job. But today, you get the money and then you do the work. That's, oh, you get them, right, you get the money and you do the work. Not you do the work and then you get them. No. Not my group. We get our money up front because we have bills to pay. We have rent to pay, gas to pay, kids in school, cars to maintain. We don't have time to wait for our money. And that is what I want you to stick in your head. You do not have any more. There's no reason for you to wait for your money anymore. So if you're sending out invoices, which if your business, okay, if your business is growing and you decided you want to capture the client and onboard them and you give them a little room to get to know you, whatever, because you understand the client lifetime value and all that. Okay, those days are dead. Those days are dead. The days are product today. There's no reason for you to wait to get paid with the advent of e-commerce and you productizing your knowledge so that you're able to serve your client in so many different ways. And I can hear people saying, how would I do that? How would my client stick with me if I productize my knowledge when most of my work is very client facing? And that's how I earn my income. That's your limited belief that the only way to serve your client is for them to see you. My sister has that belief and I keep telling her, you need to let that belief go. Because it's holding you back from growing your business so that you can focus on other ways to serve your client, which I say is always through events, online events and offline events. Client facing should be a more higher value service that you give to your clients who still pay for your services up front. That's what your website accomplishes for you. Even if you are on Etsy and Kajabi, whatever, you take that community off. Move them to, even if it's a free website, you are still able to connect a WooCommerce to your website. And if you go through Hostinger, I have an affiliate link. I get commission if you do it. If not, there's plenty others that are out there. But you set up a site and now you can still direct traffic to your site, even if you just have your products up. And all you're doing is paying for an AI. AI can even make the site for you. And now you're only paying for the hosting. And the hosting can run you about $156 a year. Right? To get out of the subscription of having to pay Etsy every single month just to keep your site up. Like, that's wild to me. Because I had an Etsy account. They were charging me $13.99. I'm not paying that. It cost me $13.99 to host my website. And I can have 100 websites. I have 4. Why would I give Etsy my... And I built all my websites with a theme. Why would I pay Etsy $13.99 to be a platform when I'm a platform? I can do exactly what Etsy does. So managing your cash flow starts at looking at how you're set up to accept payments. You do not need to invoice anymore. I'm talking to those who look at, you need to start looking at what alternatives you are to expedite the money coming in. So now you have money that can start going into your retirement accounts to paying down your debt, to investing in other projects, to reach your audience better, you have more time to spend, have that work-life balance so that you're not constantly on call and you're able to invest in outsourcing some of the services that you provide, all contractually, of course. Like, so that you're taking that money and putting it to use instead of tying it up in someone else's bank account. And now you're flowing that money in your ecosystem, reducing the friction that this country has in moving money around. It's only hard to move the money around because of our fintech. It's hard to move money around because of stuck payment processing, old ways of thinking. That's another way that it's hard to move money because people don't know how to think outside the box. And then having a protected network in your business so that your money stays within your ecosystem, not in someone else's. It's another reason why it's hard, which is why I have my own platform, which is why I moved to Chase, because Chase is frictionless. Fintech is keeping us caught up. As a consumer, fintech can keep us caught up. As a business owner, see the friction in your business and remove the friction. You don't know how to do that? Contact me. My advisory sessions are $200 for an hour. I promise you I can save you money. I promise you. I know I can, because I've already did it. I went through it. And I moved from being in this very tight system of hanging on to my money to having more control over my cash coming in and going out. I'm a beast with it. So hit me up, check me out. I don't have anything on a blog post about it right now. This is the only way you'll find out about it is through the Business of Money podcast. Because this will be a subscriber-based podcast. I'm setting that up today so that only those who want to be here will get the real information, the true information, versus posting it out there for free, because you need to. I'm building an ecosystem, and I want those that will truly benefit. You're investing in the information that's not really out there with WWI and my different brands, the Private Ledger, which is a newsletter, the Business of Money podcast, Women's Wealth Council, which is a Facebook group. It's a private group. I have the Women's Wealth Network, which is a Facebook group that's free, but I don't post this kind of information over there. I have my YouTube video that's more lifestyle content. I have Cocktails and Conversations that's private and protected. It's Zoom. You want to show up for that? Now, that's free. You don't have to pay for it, but you need the Zoom link to get in. That's every Mondays from 9 to 12, 9 p.m. to 12 a.m. It's not recorded. It's all private conversation. There's no transcripts afterwards. You got to show up for it. Because information is valuable, and showing you how as this channel grows and my podcast grows and the business grows, those who become part of the community will definitely see the growth is there, and sharing what I know and encouraging those to think a little bit selfishly is what I call it, and protect your network. It's possible, but you need to have that guidance to do it. And I'm here to help you do that. All right, I'm gonna stop right there. My name is Nia. This is the Business of Money podcast, part of the Women's Wealth Institute brand. And I'll catch you on the next one. Till then, ciao.